Can you take a shot at talking about the mechanism of action of the HDAC agents and sort of how they differ?
Histone deacetylase inhibitors are probably better called protein deacetylase inhibitors because there's a variety of protein deacetylases that get inhibited, obviously. From an epigenetics point of view, we know that transcriptional gene transcription is regulated through chromatin conformation, and that's dictated in large part by a variety of post-translational modification of the histone proteins that package the DNA in the nucleosome. And among these changes that are quite important are acetylation of certain lysine residues on the histone tails, on the lysine-rich histone tails. Now, histone deacetylases are recruited to chromatin by transcriptional repression complexes. These are often targeted by methylation of the cytosines in CpG dinucleotides in the promoter regions of cells. So if you look at a methylated gene, like say P15 in MDS, you've got cytosines in the promoter methylated. These recruit methyl-binding proteins. The methyl-binding proteins, one of them is called MECP2, for instance. The methyl-binding proteins recruit other transcriptional repression proteins, which include histone deacetylases. The histone deacetylases then change the acetylation pattern on the lysine tails and convert the transcriptionally permissive euchromatin into transcriptionally repressive heterochromatin. So the thought is that histone deacetylase inhibitors could reverse that and turn genes back on. Now, it turns out that if you've got a heavily methylated gene, the methylation is dominant to the histone acetylation, so you can't turn on a methylated gene just by using an HDAC inhibitor. But you can get very robust and, in fact, synergistic re-expression of the gene if you sequence a DNA methyltransferase inhibitor like azacitidine or deoxyazacitidine followed by an HDAC inhibitor. And that's why we are very interested in combinations like the azacitidine entinostat. And there's a whole little cottage industry of these kinds of combinations that are under investigation, although that particular combination, because it's now in a randomized phase 2 in the intergroup, is probably the farthest along from pay dirt, we hope. But these drugs also have other activities. So as I mentioned, there's many other proteins that are acetylated in response to these drugs. These include P53, very importantly, HSP90, the NF-kappa-B pathway is impacted. So these are drugs that have a lot of activity. They also induce reactive oxygen species, oxidative DNA damage. And in general, currently we think of these drugs in sort of two categories. There are three different classes of histone deacetylase inhibitor, of histone deacetylases. In fact, there are probably four classes, but three that people talk about a lot. And the two that these drugs target are class 1 and class 2. So there are HDAC inhibitors that are non-selective that inhibit both classes of HDACs. This would include the FDA-approved vorinostat. And there are class 1 selective HDAC inhibitors. The thought is that if one wants to target epigenetic changes and gene expression, one only needs HDACs 1 through 3, which are the class 1 HDACs. And so potentially by using a class 1 selective HDAC inhibitor, one might get the transcriptional impact with less toxicity. And entinostat happens to be one of the class 1 selective HDAC inhibitors. Now, on the other hand, there are certain effects, for instance, the HSP90 acetylation, which are class 2 specific. And if one really wanted to target that, one would want a non-selective HDAC inhibitor. We don't currently have class 2 selective HDAC inhibitors. So something like vorinostat, which clearly affects class 2. But all of this is really theoretical at this point.